You know, I remember when I'm listening that most people that stand here say, "Hi, my name is Stan." And I so that's me. My name is Stan. I'm married to Leanne Smith, which is full evidence of the grace of God in my life. That's 100% true. I'm sipping gradually. I had this earlier. That's all that meant. I'm looking around for a bit, getting my bearings. Okay. And I'm peeking at the time. Oh, yes. Are you okay if we... I don't want to drone on forever. I told someone, all I want to say is, when you pray, you are not alone. And I'm tempted to say, when you get that point, I guess you could go. And then when it's just me, I'll realize I can stop. So it is Romans 8:26. I almost said Romans 8:28 because that's such a fan favorite, right? We all know and love 8:28, which is coming up, I guess, in a week when Uncle Pagel comes back home and is here where he belongs. Don't you wonder? I always wonder this. I think it every time he calls. I think, poor guy, how many people have already told him no? It's 26 and 27 is the thing we're doing. And in like manner, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, because I don't always know how to pray like I should, but the Spirit intercedes for me with groanings too deep for words. And God, who searches the hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God, or some version of those two verses. That was close. The thing that I love about Romans is this study has just primarily been siloed in chapter 8. You could do this with most every chapter through Romans. It's as iconic of a letter as it comes in the New Testament. Written by Paul probably, what? Definitely in the 50s, because we're before Rome burned, we're before the Colosseum, we're before Mount Vesuvius blows its top, so we can kind of date it as the end of the reign of Claudius, maybe early Nero, but we're definitely in the 50s, writing to the Church of God in Rome. And It's in many ways Paul's magnum opus. It's so refined. It's so on point. It covers everything you and I ever need to know about grace, godliness, Jesus, salvation, and my response to it. I love what Bruce, the great theologian from the past century, said in his introduction on the commentary to Romans. Bruce said, "There's no telling what may happen when people begin to study the epistle to the Romans." And that's definitely true with this one. This verse, this little section, it's kind of like if we were going to the moon. There's a lot of moon, there's a lot of surface, but we're just going to this one little point. And that's the only point we're doing is this one. And when I think about praying, I think, well, you've had a go at it. You've done a prayer. They teach us when we're little bitty, and we mature in our prayers and our efforts, and we keep going with it, hopefully. And there are times when, at least for me, there are times when I think, I wonder if I'm prayed out on this. You see, everybody can't be a Habakkuk. Habakkuk is a great prayer. Habakkuk is the Ted Williams of praying. Yes. Yes. Yeah. In Habakkuk's book, he literally hops up on a wall and says to God in prayer, "I'm going to stand here until I get an answer about the injustice that I see unfolding in front of me." Now, that's bold. Isaiah is likely more in my line of praying people, because it says in Isaiah 6, he's recounting this vision, and he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw God. And he recounts this scene in the temple. It's filling with smoke. It's shaking. There's a physical earthquake going on. And Isaiah says, I'm unworthy to say anything. I relate more to that. And then Daniel, when Daniel's encountering angelic beings, Daniel is in awe of them and confused with the conversation. Daniel even asks, what does this mean? This thing we're doing back and forth. I love Hezekiah, the king of Judah, probably the latter part of the 8th century BC. The big power was Assyria, and Assyria was really steamrolling everything in Judah. And the only thing, you think, how bad was it? It should mean something to me to say, they even took Lachish. Jerusalem is the only stronghold left, and Sennacherib sends over the emissaries. They say, you know, it's surrender or else kind of a message. And Hezekiah takes. I was looking for a. I'm not going to do it. I'm pretending. I'm up on the roof, and I roll out the letter and I say to God, "You see this, right? You see what they're saying about us, about you, about this place, about their power." That's the prayer of the desperate. But the one I relate to the most is Jeremiah, when he opens the book of Lamentations. The book of Lamentations in Hebrew opens with a one-word interrogative. We piece it together so it makes better sense in English, but the opening of Lamentations is actually better seen than heard. And this is what it looks like. Lamentations 1, verse 1. The Hebrew is Eka, and it's translated, how? He's looking at the rubble of Jerusalem, and he's saying, how does this city set desolate? This was Jerusalem. This was the city of God. How? So, if today you sit here and you think, now that's one I can relate to, because there are times when I look around at the world around me, as wide of a scope as I want, or as focused as I want in my own life, and I think, how did I get here? How is this happening right now? And the other thing that I sometimes think is, I don't know what to say. And then that verse is there. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, because we don't always know what to say, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. I know there's a lot there. I'm only picking the parts I can even barely deal with, but I understand the word help. I know what it means to need help and get help, because that's usually one of the two reasons I'm praying. I'm either thinking, I need some help, or thank you for the help you gave me. But this word help is, it's really beautiful. I'm going to try to say it again, because it's a very long word in Greek. Help is a lot easier to say, right? Help. Here it is in Greek. It's going to roll this way, so I'm going to roll this way with it. Sunanti lampanomai. Isn't that lovely? It means help. I just like to say it because it's so long. It's 17 letters long. That's a big word. Another 17-letter word is brokenheartedness, which was what you would be if you didn't have the help and prayer from the Spirit of God. Another 17-letter word is supernaturalistic, which is what is going on when I pray. The big thing here is I am not alone when I'm praying. And sometimes I think, you know, when you pray, go in your room, shut your door. It's all private. It's just you and God. No, it's not just you and God. It's you and God and the Spirit of God that lives in us, doing the praying when I can't. I'm tempted to say, well, I was going to say, holy smokes, that's okay, right? I could say that, but that's what I was thinking. I was thinking, when you finally begin to get your mind around this, you think, well, this is really good, because there are times when I feel so inadequate. Let me do a couple of them. This is a long list of when I feel inadequate, but I know a couple that I can do quickly. I remember sitting in my dining room, leaning against a pillar, listening to a child, because every parent listens to, you know, you listen to your children cry out in pain, and you think, oh, that one, oh, I feel that differently. You know, if I'm hurting, I'll just tell myself, cowboy up, John Wayne threw this thing, son. But it's your child, and when you're listening to them hurt, and you think, oh, this was my prayer to God in that moment. Through tears, I say, God, you hear what I'm hearing, and I don't know what to say. I don't know how to pray anymore about what you're hearing, because I've prayed it, and I'm still hearing it, and you're still hearing it, and I don't know what to say anymore. This is a great verse then, right? Because the Spirit helps us in our weakness, because sometimes Stan doesn't know what to say. Another thing that is, you know, it's common, because we've all been in surgical waiting, and someone we love that is holding our heart has been rolled away, and all we want is just bring that person back. I just want this person to come back. I just want them to be okay. Yeah. And so I feel Jeremiah's, his angst, it can sometimes feel so lonely in prayer. And that's the thing that I want us to see, that God has built in this partnership in prayer. What if the art of praying really is in sitting still and letting the Holy Helper help me pray? Yeah. I like if-then statements because they're predictable. If I do this, then this is supposed to happen. Here's an if-then at the dedication of the temple with Solomon when he's king of Israel, the United Kingdom. You find it in 1 Kings. No, that is so not true. You find it in 2 Chronicles 7. Like, how do you get those mixed up, right? Those are two whole different places. But at the dedication of the temple, God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, this is the God part, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. And I'm thinking on the other side of that, I want all three of those. God to hear me, God to forgive me, God to heal me, and this land that I love. Because there are times when I'm like Hezekiah and Habakkuk mixed and say, God, you're aware of what's going on, right? You're seeing what I'm seeing? But in that formula of if-then about praying and humbling and seeking God, there's the praying part. And the thing I want to say, because you've heard people pray and you think, maybe like me, you hear somebody pray and they did a really good job. You think, oh, that was good. That was good prayer. I think it's effort more than excellence. And as long as I can get it to effort, I can try. I can try. Because if I go from the dedication of the temple and I fast forward 500 years, then Haggai is the prophet of God, and they're supposed to be back after Ezra and Nehemiah said, come and build, let's build for the people who had a mind to work and all of that. And 20 years later, between Ezra, Nehemiah, and now Haggai, 20 years later, there's still no temple, and there's supposed to be a temple. And Haggai says, you guys need to get busy, go, go, go. And they're kind of bemoaning the fact that, well, it's not going to look like the old one. The old one was really nice and big. And in Haggai 2:4, I'm trying to do 2:4. Haggai 2:4, God says, take courage, for I am with you. If you build it, I'll fill it. He says in Haggai 2, I'll bring in gold, silver, I'll bring all kind of stuff that you think ought to go in a temple, and I'll fill it with myself. If you build it, I will come. Effort, not excellence. That's a good thing for me to remember when I'm praying. I don't have to get it all right. I'm not so sure I even need to say everything, because sometimes this spirit that lives in me that's communicating to God about my heart through my heart will get the job done. My friend Pat sent me a picture of a power verse. There's a lot of P's there, right? Pat's power picture. Ephesians 3:20. How's it go? I'm trying to remember it now. Boy, don't you wish you'd have written that one down? And he, it's the one about, and he is able to do exceedingly immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine according to the power that is work in us. I get to be us, right? I get to be the recipient of this power from God. And it pairs wonderfully well with Romans 5, 3 through 5. And not only this, but we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that our sufferings produce endurance. And endurance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because the love of God has been poured out into our heart through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. And so when I sit alone and I'm wondering what to say, I realize I'm not alone. I'm not the only one praying in this prayer. And that to me, I realize it's like, well, son, that's been there the whole time. But it's been such an aha celebration of, it kind of takes all the pressure off of knowing what to say exactly and get it right. And, you'll be glad to know that it's like, because I know where I am roughly in what I wanted to say, and we are getting close to the end. So, see, it's never the why of prayer that I struggle with. I know why I'm praying. Like I said earlier, I'm either asking God for something or thanking him for something he's already given me, basically. But it's the what that I can wrestle with at times. What do I say? How do I do it? And then I realize, I'm not the only one coming up with the words here. And sometimes the groanings are even too deep for words, beyond words. And I think that's my Proverbs. I said Proverbs out loud, didn't I? I meant to say Psalm. Totally. Meant to say Psalm 46:10. That's one you know. It's the be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still in Hebrew is the word harpu, which, you know, I only say that because it just sounds fun to say. But it means to stop, relax. Be still. Over in the book of Nehemiah, where they were, you know, really trying to work and be busy and busy and busy and work, Nehemiah uses this word to say, stop working. And literally, it's put your hands down. That's why I was doing that. That harpu is literally drop your hands. Drop your hands. That's it. Drop your hands and know that I'm God. So here's your assignment. This is an assignment. You have to do this. Some of you may be thinking, now do I have to do this? You totally have to do this today. I want you to take 60 seconds. I want you to set your phone. I'm going to demonstrate quickly, all right? I know some of you have these.
Yeah.
I want you to set your phone away from you. Ugh. Ugh. Okay, and your smart device. And for 60 seconds, close the laptop, get away from all of that, and center yourself and breathe. And think on the gratitude of God. Examine your day and look for ways that God has influenced, saved, redeemed, directed, guided, saved you. As you sit, it makes me wonder again, like I said earlier, I wonder if the real art of prayer is in sitting quietly and letting the Holy Helper help me pray. When Solomon was a young king, we really better get on with it, right? Only 60 seconds, and then maybe next week, a minute, and then, that's kind of the same thing, isn't it? And then next week, do 2 minutes next week. Go crazy and go for 10. Work up to the point when you can sit quietly with God and you're not stressing or having a full-on panic attack by just being still. Because what God came to Solomon and asked him in a dream in 1 Kings 3. God says to Solomon, ask me anything you wish. And Solomon asked for a wise and understanding heart. And in Hebrew, what Solomon actually asked for was a lev shomea, a heart that listens. And I think that may be the key to wisdom and to prayer, a heart that's listening for what this spirit groaning inside of me is trying to say and lead and prompt me towards. My own life, I'm really so close to done. This is really the end. My own life has been transformed in the last year and a half because I went through this 34-week guided study mapping the intersections of my life and Jesus following the meditative prayers of Saint Ignatius. And it's been transformational in terms of being able to track God and listen and see and hear. And so I come back to where we began. There's no telling what may happen when people begin to study the Epistle to the Romans. And maybe my best shot at praying is just to be still and listen for the Holy Helper to help.